All right, boys and girls, we are now, we're looking at the Doctrine of Spiritual Growth, Lesson 3, page 3. Anybody need a page 3? Okay. We need down there, so pass these down. There's 3 here. You need one, Zach? Okay, that's 4. Just pass these down. There you go. How about over here? Nobody need it?
Did you count me in?
Huh?
Did you count me in?
Yeah, you're in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just pass it down. Should be 3 there. All right. Is there 2 there, Zach? There you go. Okay. All right. Last time, we'll just go back a little bit. Last time, we see that B is each season has its own. We looked at each season and its peculiar characteristic features. And the handout says this same principle is seen in the lives of human beings. The life of a man is divided into distinct seasons or stages. There's childhood, youth, maturity, and old age. And each one of these stages is marked by characteristic features. For example, innocence and shyness of normal children, and the zeal and vigor of youth. The stability and endurance of maturity and the experience and wisdom of old age. And let's turn to Ecclesiastes just to read that. Chapter 3, verse, Zach, I want you to read that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let me get there.
I didn't get there either.
Just start reading. I'll tell you when to stop. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Okay, I want to stop there for just a second. To everything there's a season, a time, to every purpose under heaven. What does the word purpose mean to you? What does that word mean? Every purpose.
Every matter.
What do you have?
I have every matter.
Okay, matter, purpose. What does that mean to you specifically, Vinny?
There's a plan.
Huh?
There's a plan.
Okay. Okay. Somebody else.
I have event.
Event, okay, same thing. That's a better word. What he's saying in that text is this, and if God's word is inspired, it means that this is God saying this, okay? He's saying that it doesn't matter what happens in your life. Everything has a season. Everything. And as you well know, when you were young, even as a child, you were innocent. You might even have been a little shy. As you turned into a young person, you began... Some a little more than others, yes. And when you became a little older, the season changed and you were no longer that. You were self-confident, even though you shouldn't have been because you didn't know very much, inexperienced. But yet you had youthful vigor and endurance. And then when you became mature, you settled down and you changed once again. And then when you become old, you change again. These are seasons, and this is what Ecclesiastes is saying, and this is what our text is telling us, our handout is telling us, that there is a season for every human life. And right now, everybody in here is in a specific season. And even within the seasons, there's a purpose for everything, no matter what it is, whether it's good or bad. There's a purpose for it. And you carry that one step further. If you go to Romans 8:28, you know that whatever that purpose is, it's going to work out for your good. It's like knowing that you have won the game before the game's even over. The game is fixed. God has fixed the game for your favor. Everybody understand that? And I don't care what happens. I don't care what it is in life, up and including death. I don't care what it is. It's fixed in your favor. And I got to tell you something. If you leave this room with that one thought and you say, and you go home with that and you live that next week and say, well, that happened, but you know what? It's fixed in my favor. Then you learn something. You learned an important lesson about the peace you need in your heart. Once you understand that, I'm telling you, that peace is there, and you're ready to go. All right, read a few more verses, and we'll move on. Go ahead. Two.
The attempt to be born, the attempt to die, the attempt to plant, an attempt to pluck up that which is planted, the attempt to kill, an attempt to heal, the attempt to break down, an attempt to build up, the attempt to weep, an attempt to laugh, the attempt to mourn, an attempt to dance, the attempt to cast away stones, an attempt to gather stones together, the attempt to embrace, an attempt to refrain from embracing, the attempt to get, an attempt to lose, the attempt to keep, an attempt to cast away.
Okay. So I would suggest this, and you know, I know a lot of suggestions I give aren't heeded, but here's one you might want to heed. Put a little marker in Ecclesiastes 3, and every day when you're having your coffee, open it up and read 3:1-11. Just, and 11 says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set in the world or eternity in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work of God that maketh from the beginning to the end." You have eternity in your heart. That's what that verse is saying. So just take Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11, and as you're sipping your coffee, say, well, I'm going to have a day today, but I know there's going to be a time for everything. Let me just read about that. That's my tip for the morning. Okay, number two, on the handout, page 3. Not only has God appointed particular seasons when each of his creatures will come forth and flourish, but they will only come forth on his time schedule. There's the, before we look at this, that is absolutely the major problem with evangelical Christendom today. We want God to work on our time schedule, not his. We want him to work on our clock, not his. Amen? Amen. It is true, right? Okay, let's look at these verses. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Carrie, let everybody get there first. Okay, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And in your Bible, you should go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where we just were, and you should put in Psalm 1, verse 3, because it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit," what? "In its season." So let me ask you a question. Let's go application, okay? So what is the application of understanding that that everything is done according to God's time frame and in a season? What's the application we can use? Okay.
To have peace.
Yeah. What'd you say?
To have peace and confidence that he's in charge.
Peace and confidence of no matter what happens. Yep, that's a good idea. What else?
Patience,
right? Fruit of the Spirit type patience, right? Not human, not contemporary patience or temporary patience, but patience, right? Hardest thing in the world for anybody is to be patient and to submit. Because in a way, you have to understand something. When you're working on your time frame and not working on God's time frame, you are not submitting. Understand that. You're not submitting. You're saying to God, "Hey, look, I know you got things to do. I got things to do. Got things I want to do. So we got to get moving, okay? And I'll get ahead of you, but that's okay. I know you got my back." That's what we do. And that's not good. That's not good. I got to tell you, the thing I've learned the most in my Christian walk, the most, is to relax. Either God's in charge or he's not. And especially I've learned this with this COVID thing. I've learned it. You know, people say, "Well, you know, I don't want to go out because it's icy." This, nobody dies at the wrong time. Nobody dies, period. You give up the ghost here, but you pick it up somewhere else in the eternal realm. You got to relax. Just understand that. It's sort of like people are, I think, and this is my analogy, I think people, I watch a lot of Christian people, and they remind me of somebody who's going on a great vacation, and it's like 2 days away, and they got in their head all these things they got to do before they go on vacation. There's no peace at that. You get on the plane, you're going, huh, it's just good to be on a plane. I don't have anything to do. I'm going to relax for a while, right? But that's how a lot of Christians live their life every day. It's their time frame. And you have to understand that your time frame is that clock, and that clock is ticking, but your time frame is what this book says, God's time frame, and not yours. So you can't hurry God. Can you hurry God up? I'm going to answer, right? You can't, right? You can't say, come on, Dad, let's go. We're in a hurry, right? You understand that? And you know something? If you were to look at a child and you were to watch a child, I don't know if you've ever done that. If you ever stood in a doorway and watch a child play with their toys and their teddy bears or even with cars or with Legos, and they're talking and they're making believe all these things are happening. That's why I always love children's prayers, because they believe so much. But if you watch them, that's actually going on in their head. All those things are going on. And we do the same thing. We play with life. We don't live life. We don't live life the way we should live life. None of us do, okay? And the object is to try to do that. But we go through life at our time frame, at our speed. We back up, we fall down, he picks us up. That's a rough way to go through this life. If you just learn to slow down and say, I'm not in a hurry, so let's just see what happens. I know where I got to be. I'll be there and I'll get there. And if whatever gets in my way, I know God put it there. The other day, I had to drive down to June's house, and I got behind a snowplow in Harwinton, and he got off in Waterbury. And the most he did was 30. Because I'm sitting there, and at the very beginning, I'm going, maybe I could go on that little side thing where the snowplow was. He said, no, they won't like that at all. They get my license plate, right? I said, no, I won't do that. So I went all those miles, 25 miles an hour. I saw a country I didn't know existed. I did. I really did, right? And then when I'm done looking around, I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm in a hurry because I got 17 things I got to do. I want to get it all done. But somehow you put me in this place at exactly this time to get behind those snow plows, just like everybody else. And I was like two cars from the plow itself. So you know what, Lord? Why don't you just speak to my heart? That's what I did. Everything went quiet. Just quiet. In my heart. No more did I care about June's driveway. I didn't care about anything. I just cared about. Well, look.
He's out there 3.5%.
Anyway.
That's what I use.
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that when I did that and I shut it off, everything just slowed down. My heart, my mind, everything was going at 25 miles an hour. Instead of the 70 that I, or 80, maybe 75, I was planning, right? Oh. It was going, and it was good. I actually enjoyed, once I got up, actually it was exit 41.
Okay.
At exit 41 that I take to come to church. At that exit, everything slowed down. And from 41 to 36, it was beautiful. It was like calm. It was just like this.
And I'm 25.
And you know, the whole thing of it is that just taught me a lesson about God's timing. How many times have you seen something where you say, oh, that was perfect. I couldn't have timed that any better. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
It's all part of the timing.
You never know what he's keeping.
You never do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true.
Oh, I think about that.
Especially with an oil truck, I could get that. All right, let's look at John 4:4. John 4:4.
Thanks again for doing that.
No, please. John 4:4. Go ahead, David.
Okay, John 4:4.
Wait a minute.
And he had to pass through Samaria.
What?
That sentence, that's it.
Maybe one guy. No, because he had to be there at a certain time to meet that woman.
Yes. Yes. John 4:4. And he must needs go through Samaria. John 4:4. This verse is stuck in my heart ever since I read it. Because I said to myself, why would Jesus need to do anything? Because it never dawned on me that he was on God's time schedule the same as I am. Same. He needed to go there. Right? Now think about that. if he was on that time scale and he being God knew that he had to be there, he knew the reason and everything, right? No one else did. But if God thought it enough to say that he needed to be there, okay, at a certain place, at a certain time. Remember with Lazarus when he died? Yep. And his disciples said, well, why don't we go heal him while he's still sick? He says, no, he's got to die. And there was a reason for that. There was a time frame for that.
How about with Philip, with the
eunuch?
With the eunuch. Yeah.
Being in the right place at the right time, boom, Philip with the eunuch. So all these things are perfect examples of how we rush through life. Actually, they're really a silhouette of what we're doing wrong with our lives. Really. I won't say that it's sinful. It's hurtful. And it's hurtful to me and it's hurtful to you by running ahead of God. You get no benefit from that. Actually, you get less than a benefit. You get a little pain sometimes, right? Yeah.
You want to hear something really neat? I was eating over at the Capos in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And after I finished eating, I left a real big tip. She was more than me, so I left a real big tip. And I was walking to the
cashier.
I was having my car. I was having my oil change. So on the way there, I'm thinking, Lord, I know you're going to, you don't. You want me to be a big tipper, so I have a big tipper. And I said, I know the Lord, you're going to bless me somehow. And so I'm looking in the weeds as I'm walking all the way down to the garage. And I says, I know something's going to happen. So I got finally to the garage, but I didn't think anything of it. And I looked at this car, and I says, oh, no plates on it. I wonder if it's for sale. I'm going to go look over. I look down, and there's a $20 bill. And my oil change for $20.
No. That's pretty funny. The only thing that beats that is if you went fishing and took 20 bucks out of a fish's mouth.
Yeah.
That would have been the only thing that was different, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, yeah. But talk about timing, being in the right place at the right time. A wind could have picked that thing up, blew it away, right? Yeah.
Don't forget to tie that.
Yeah. Hey, Kerry, what's up?
It was beautiful.
Was it?
Yeah. And I've never seen a rainbow during with snow.
It didn't even snow. It didn't there was nothing yet.
Oh, I know, but I mean, the ground was covered.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness, like usually it's a fair weather after the rain.
Right, second time this year I've seen a rainbow with no rain.
You know what, though? I tell you this, that if you learn this time thing I'm telling you about and the peace,
that's what I was saying.
There's a rainbow in your heart every day, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Can I share one more?
Sure.
I was in going to the old church and Lou Vicento, I met him at the Rainbow Restaurant in Torrington. He's up here now.
He does.
This is looking for a long time ago. So I met him.
Oh yeah, years ago. Rainbow.
And he said, after church, let's go to the Rainbow and get a grinder. I said, yeah, that's good. So on the way there, I knew I didn't have very much money with me. I thought, and I had it last week. I knew exactly how much I needed for the tip also. And I said, oh Lord, I need another dollar. Lord, I need another dollar for a tip. I says, I know what I'll do. I'll go around the side of the Rainbow and I'll park in where the flower beds are. And I'll go in the dirt there and I'll bet there's a dollar there. So I drive in there and I drive around the thing and I get up and I close the door and I walk around and I grab the dollar out of the thing and I go in. I didn't even think about it. And I just go in and says, good, I got my tip now. And then on the way home, I'm thinking, that's faith.
Yeah.
No, really.
That's real faith. I knew it was going to be there. Mm. I mean, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, all of us can have, experiences like that. But you know, you said the key word. It's faith. You need to have faith to understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
I just got out. I walked over. I grabbed it. And I put it in my pocket.
I don't think I could have done that, though. I would have probably had to scream or something because I just would be overwhelmed with it. That's me, though. But anyway.
I was overwhelmed on the way home. I was just crazy. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that, Lord.
Yeah. So you find a lot of money outside? You? I know, $21.
I used to say, if you find money constantly, that's because your name is Vincent.
Vincent, oh, yeah. Oh. All right. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians.
I had a lot of pennies. I had Sharon Penny in school. See, another 9 didn't make a dime.
1 Corinthians 3:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Doreen.
When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things.
Yes, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Again, we're talking about seasons, right?
Mm-hmm. That's in the context of gifts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, A, another example of seasons is sowing seeds. If we sow seeds in the winter, they won't germinate. How many people ever tried to start a garden in December? Doesn't work. And plants can't be forced to sprout in the spring. They have to wait for the summer sun. So in other words, you can't... I've never seen a farmer go out in his field, plant corn, then run back to the farmhouse, grab a plate and a knife and a fork, and run out to the field. Nothing's happening, right? So we have to understand something. You know, these are things. Remember we talked last time about how Jesus and the Bible talks about nature and how things in nature, if we ponder them, we see spiritual implications. All of this stuff are spiritual implications to us about things in our life. Don't just look at this as like he's talking about the plow and the season. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. Think about yourself, the season that you're in, whatever season you're in your life right now, whether it be a season of plenty, whether it be a season of poverty, whether it be a season of joy, whether it be a season of anger, whether it be a season of blessing, what. Those are all seasons. I'm not just talking about your age. Each of us are in a special season with God regarding our life in general and in particular. In particular, this week, last week, they're not always the same, right? So you have to understand that when you start a day off, you may not know what season you're in unless it's something you're dragging in from the day before, okay? You might be filled with joy. You might find a couple bucks like Vinny does and going around and doing that stuff. But as soon as it changes, you know that that's a season. And you don't know how long that season is going to be. How many people here have been in a season more than a year? Right? How many people have been in a season more than 2 years or 5 years? Or 10 years, okay? You see, fewer and fewer hands. So everybody gets in a season, and even within seasons, there are seasons, right? So understand the context of what we're talking about here. You're going to grow. You have to understand these concepts, these principles, because they are what help you grow. Your understanding of what's going on in your life and knowing that God's in charge of it all is what's going to help you to grow spiritually. And you have to not just let it go in here and here. You have to go out and you have to use it. If you're not using it, then you're just storing it away and it's a waste. For you, it's a waste. For those that use it, it's a blessing. So we know that it says that plants can't be forced to sprout in the spring. The same is true in the human realm. We read Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. All of those things, there's a season for everything. You're not going to rush anything in your life. The pain you suffer, if you're in a season of pain, that season of pain has a time frame. If you're in a season of love, that season of love has a time frame. If you're in a season of plenty, that season has a time. Everything has a time frame. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. How do we know that? Because Ecclesiastes 3:1-11 talks about all the different things that have a season. Now, some of them, some of them are applicable, some of them aren't, but they give you the idea that in general, everything that happens to you is happening in a season of growth. Everybody get that? It's important to understand it, and it's important not just to understand it, it's important to leave this place and go home or go out next week knowing that you are in a season. You may not be in a season you want to be in, but every season will work out for your benefit. That's the thing you have to keep in mind. Jeremiah 29:11 also backs that up. I know my plans for you. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You go through your seasons and you hold on to 8:28 and Jeremiah 29:11. I got to tell you something. You'll find stuff in your life. You'll see rainbows in your life you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine. You couldn't. If I asked Vinny to tell me how much that was worth to have enough faith that at one instance to go around the building, look in a certain place, find what he was looking for, and then drive away with it, if I were to ask him what that feeling was worth on the way home, he couldn't give me a number. He couldn't give me a number. And the reason he couldn't give me a number is because that faith is so eternal. It's so supernatural that, you know, people like to watch, you know, Touched by an Angel or some of these other supernatural shows. Really stupid stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I don't mean to offend you, but they're stupid, okay? They're just plain, they're plain idiotic. I don't get them at all. So anyway, there's nothing from that, but when you have real faith and you enact that faith and you see the results of that faith, you just walk away from that experience a changed being. Every single time God reaches out his hand and he feeds you a blessing, that should change your life. That should change your perspective on your life. And if it's not doing that, you got to find out why. Why is that not helping me? Why? Why am I not changing? Why? And if you still can't figure it out, let me know. I'll help you figure it out. This book will help you figure out anything. But you got to really just take it and use it. You just can't hear it. And then it says, it's interesting to note, of the four seasons on earth, only three of them are concerned with fertility or growth. Only three of the four seasons we have deal with fertility and growth. And the same analogy is seen in Christians. In the Christian life, there is a spring, a summer, and an autumn, right? Winter is when the body is committed to the grave in the sure and certain hope of resurrection and the spring. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to stop here and tell you that I'm not saying you're in the grave. I'm saying your body's in the grave. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. To be absent from the body for a believer is to be present with the Lord. Luke 16 makes it abundantly clear. If you die without Christ, you're going to hell, because the rich man, that's where the rich man was when he spoke to Lazarus. He was speaking from hell. There's no ghost, there's no sleep, there's no soul sleep, as it's called. You're there. Your body is there. That's it. And the proof of that is in 1 Corinthians 15.
Or Philippians 1:21-23.
Okay, Philippians 1:21-23. Give us a second to get there, and we can then read that. Because I don't want people to be confused by that, because many people are. Philippians 1:21-23. He's talking about believers. Go ahead, Wink.
For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How's that? If I am to live in the flesh, that means a fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better.
Okay, everybody see that?
He says, live here and work for the Lord,
right,
and die and be with Christ.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're both good choices, but
right,
the stronger one is to be with Christ.
Everybody see that? So that being said, you think about your own life. You think about how what season you're in. You should do that. You should do that periodically. What season am I in? As far as everything goes. You know, that's the other thing we need to do. How many times do you think the Bible says meditate? Meditate on his word. Meditate. Now, some people say, oh, that's a cult or new age. No, it's not. The Bible says meditate. And what does it mean to meditate? What does that mean, the word referring to scripture? What does it mean?
To ponder.
Ponder. To what think, else? Think. What
consider,
else?
Consider.
What else?
To get absorbed into the scripture.
Absorbed. Mm-hmm. Yep. What so, else?
Keep turning it over in your mind.
Yep.
Like a couch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Phone. What else?
How can you apply it?
There you go. There you go. See how everybody missed that? I'm telling you guys. How to meditate means how to apply something. It's application. If you just have to get it through your head. I know I hear pastors, rather. I hear evangelists. I hear Christians all say the same thing. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. I hear nobody saying, apply it. I would rather, I say this. If you were to take one book, you take the book of James, and you were to read it and apply it every day, say, I'm going to find a verse and I'm going to apply it. If you were to play that in, if you were to play that out in your life, you would get more experience in that one book than you would in reading the Bible for a year. You know why? Because the very moment you start being doers of the word, 122, the minute you start doing that, what's going to happen is you're going to God's hand is going to open up in your life, and you're going to say, "Oh, I just look at that. That is connected to this. That's connected to this, and it's all there." You'll learn more from God applying God's word to your life than you'll ever learn by just sticking it up in your head. And I know Christians, that's all they do. How many of you, without a show of hands, think about this. How many of you actually look for ways to apply God's word? How many of you go out and say, I just read something. I'm going to see if I can apply it. How many of you make that practice to do that? No hands. The fact is, if you're not doing it, you're missing blessings. If you read your Bible, read something, it sticks in your head, okay? It sticks in your head, then go out and apply it. That's the whole point of, listen, this book, I told you, has a shelf life. Your life. Once you leave this green planet or blue planet, you don't need this book anymore because you're with the living word. So this book was given to you to use now in its fullest sense. If you're not using it in its fullest sense, then shame on you, because you're missing all the things that this Bible will put into your life. You're missing it. You know what it must have felt like for people to know that young people could live longer if they just succumbed to Nero and they renounced their faith, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And they died. They died martyrs. And now they have a glorious place in heaven. They didn't care about that. God gave them the faith to face death. And he gives you and I faith to believe this book. And that's in Ephesians 2:8. You are saved by grace through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. He gives you that faith to use. And how many of us use it every day by looking for things to apply? You can't. And so in a sense, aren't we, when we're not applying things, aren't we living like Gentiles? Aren't we living like those that are lost? They can't apply anything of this book to their life. And how many of us go through a day and we don't find anything to apply to our life? And yet every single day, there's multiple applications that you can apply spiritual things to every day. Even if it's going to the grocery store and picking out a bunch of bananas. Even if it's that. You understand?
Yep.
It's no different when I do that than what he did with the buck. There's no difference. I'm asking God by faith to help me. That's really what application is. And we went around the table, and with that word, we got all these different answers. But only it took one last answer for application. And that's really what this book is all about. Joe.
Well, like you're saying, if you say you know and you don't do it, you don't know.
That's right.
And like, for example, this comes... silly, I guess. I fool around with piano, I play piano, and at times I'll find myself reading about practice rather than practicing.
There you go.
And I'm saying, Joe, I have the realization, you got to get down there and play. You got to practice. You can't just read mm-hmm. about it. You have to do it.
That's right.
And you get better when you do it. You know, so it's from getting into here.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's from here to here to here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection everybody loses. They don't mind those two spots. It's good. You know why? Does anybody know why we're not better applicators of the word?
It takes work.
Hard.
Okay, it takes work. What else? Come on, take a shot at it. Zach.
I think when you go here, if you do this, it translates to being a special person, a spiritual person.
That's true. But there's one big reason. No? Yeah, I think we all want to do it, but... That's close. I'll give you a close on that. I'll give you a C-. Go ahead. Jerry. Carrie. One second.
People in today's world, including some Christians, say they're too busy.
You what?
People in today's world are too busy.
That's the answer. Because you're too busy doing other things. Your mind is not focused on the spiritual realm. Your mind is focused on the temporary realm. That's the reason why. That's the reason why you can't have peace. That's the reason why you can't relax. That's the reason why you hurry. And that's the reason why you have to beat that clock. Because you're not thinking spiritually. You're thinking physically. And that means that you're no different off in that regard as a lost person. Because that's all they do. Period. It's that easy. It is that easy. Meat and potatoes simple. You're so busy with your life and the things in your life, it's the plate thing. It's like God isn't in the center. When you get up in the morning, he may be in the center. You may go to bed at night. You may pray to him. You may sing a hymn. You may do all those things. He's in the center of your life. You wake up in the morning, you say, okay, you got to go over here. Now I got all this stuff to deal with. And you're not doing it. You're not looking for application. You're not looking at things spiritually. And as a result, I won't say all the time, most of the time. And as a result of that, you're always running ahead of God. You don't even know what season you're in until somebody brings it to your attention. That's how spiritually lax we are. We allow ourselves to be because of that clock and in this thing that we call the world that we live in. That's what it does. That is the devil's device. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we'll close with that.